Each week, here on Something to Believe In, Reverend Tommy Bounce presents to you a program of encouragement and blessing with uplifting music and a life-changing message from the Word of God. And now, here's Something to Believe In with Reverend Tommy Mounce.
Hello, and thank you for inviting me to your homes again this Sunday morning. My, we've been doing this for many years, but we're not never getting tired of it. We're glad to be able to come into your homes, your automobiles, the convalescent places, the penitentiaries, wherever you are, to tell you the wonderful story of Jesus and His love. There is nothing like the love of God who is shed abroad in our heart. This is the day He hath made just for me, and I am going to rejoice and be glad there. So let's get right into our broadcast today. And Martha and I are going to do this one right here for you. And it says, I am free.
For so long I have searched for life's meaning in sway by the world and all my dreams. Then the door of my prison was opened by Him, and now, praise the Lord, I am free. From the guilt of tomorrow, I'm free from the guilt of my past. I tread in my shackles for the glorious life. I'm free, praise the Lord. I am free from the guilt that I carry, from the dead empty life I am set free. For when I met Jesus, He made me complete. He forgot the foolish child I used to be. I'm free from the guilt of tomorrow. I'm free from the guilt of my past. I trade in my shackles for the glorious life. I'm free, praise the Lord, I'm free at last. I'm treading my shackles for the glorious life. And now, praise the Lord, I'm free at last.
You know, it's hard to realize that Martha's gone. When I play her music, it seems like it brings her back. And, well, we don't want to forget Martha. We want to continue to remember Martha. Martha was a great part of this ministry for many, many years. And we worked together, and I love to play her music now for you. And I hope that you're enjoying. I hope that you're getting ready to go to the house of God. I hope you had a great Easter last Sunday morning, and you're going to have a great day today, and you're going to be worshiping the Lord in spirit and in truth. Well, let's go right back and listen to this song here, and hope you enjoy this one. I love this song. Old brother Jack Reed used to request this all the time. It said, ride out your storm.
And it seems like forever, and your nights of confusion, they've been oh so long. ship has lost anchor, and the storm's got you drifting. But the night's almost over, so ride out your storm. Ride out your storm. God's right there with you. Though you may not feel him, you're never alone. You're hurting now, but the morning is coming. Hold on to Jesus, ride out your storm. Waters be raging, they'll do you no harm. Don't give up the battle, for your answer is coming. Hold on to Jesus, ride out your storm. Ride out your storm. God's right there with you. Though you may not feel him, you're never alone. You're hurting now, but the morning is coming. Hold on to Jesus, ride out your storm. Just hold on to Jesus, ride out your storm.
Yes, sir, just hold on to Jesus and ride out your storm. You know, he said in this life you would have tribulation, and we can't live on Easy Street. I don't know, I don't understand it sometimes, how that Christians have to go through so much, but we've got to realize we have opposition. We have an adversary, the devil. He goeth about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And we can read in the scriptures where he was always trying to destroy and try to disgrace people. And, I mean, it's very obvious that we're up against a tough situation. But if we hold on to Jesus, we can ride out our storms. So the storms of life may wither and they may beat. But remember what I said last week, Satan may boast, he may marshal his host. But thank God we got the power. I'm glad for that. So let's go right now, listen to this song right here, and I hope you enjoy this one.
If you could see what I once was, if you could go with me back to where I started from, then I know just what you'd see. A miracle of love that took me in its sweet embrace and made me what I am today. An old sinner saved by grace. I'm just a sinner saved grace. When I stood condemned to death, He took my place. Now I live and breathe in freedom. With each breath of life I take, I'm loved and forgiven. I'm back with the living. I'm just a sinner saved by grace. How could I boast of anything I've ever seen or done? How could I dare to claim as mine the victories God has won? Where would I be had God not brought me gently to this place? I'm here to say I'm nothing but an old sinner saved by grace. I'm just a sinner saved by grace. My place. Now I live and breathe in freedom. With each breath of life I take, I'm loved, I'm forgiven. I'm back with the living. Just a sinner saved by grace. Now I live and breathe in freedom. With each breath of life I take, I'm loved, I'm forgiven. I'm back with the living. I'm just a sinner saved by grace.
Well, can you say praise the Lord? Thank you, Jesus, for salvation. Salvation comes through Jesus Christ. We can say that we're saved, and we can know it. I know a lot of people say, well, I hope so. Well, I don't hope so. I know so. The Bible said we know we pass from death into life if we have love one for another. And I love you. I hope you love me in the same fashion. Are you praying for me? I need your prayers more this day and time than I ever had. I miss Martha so bad. But anyhow, I got to keep going. I got to keep going with this radio ministry and keep going as long as I can. So you pray for me, and I'll be praying for you. All right, let's go right now and listen to this sermon.
God has only one miracle that's going to receive the miracle. But there's a little catch to this thing of receiving a miracle from God. First of all, you must believe in God. You say, well, everybody believes in God. No, no. Everybody doesn't believe in God. Now, everybody may know about God, and everyone has heard about God, but do you really know God? You see, the Bible said in Hebrews 11:6, that he that cometh to God must believe that God is. That's very important. I found out a long time ago when I started my Christian journey, I had to linger a long time in the very first book of the Bible. I went to the very first verse, and it said, in the beginning, God. You see, I knew that there was no reason to go any farther. If I could not settle in my heart and in my mind, in my spirit, that there was a God, and He's real, and He's going to be real in my life, then don't go no farther. Oh, a lot of people have joined the church, they got baptized, and yet they don't know God. And to receive a miracle from God, you've got to realize that only God can give miracles. Only God can give miracles. Oh, we talk about them like they're nothing. We talk about them like they're just coming right and left, and all you got to do is believe. Just believe. Have faith in God. All things are possible to them that will believe. When we begin to believe in God and believe in the supernatural, a miracle that is coming only from God. When God says to me, I want to give away one miracle, and I'm the only source of that miracle, then I've got to go to the Webster Dictionary to find out what a miracle is. A miracle is a happening that seems to be against the known laws of nature and science. Now that's what Webster recognized. And you've got to recognize that. If you're going to receive this miracle, you must believe in God. Because God is a supernatural God. God is the only giver of miracles. And if God's got that one miracle for you, then we've got to believe in God. Miracles only come from God. Only God can give miracles. Do you really believe in God? Because that is the first way to receive a miracle from God, is to believe in God. They must believe in God. And if you believe in God, then you are precipitant to that miracle. But again, we've got to ask another question. Do you believe that God is able to give that miracle? Is God really able to meet that miracle that is needed in my life? And then it brings us to another question. Who needs the miracle? I want you to self-examine right now. Which one of you needs the miracle more than the other? But then again, who of you sitting in the pulpit, or in the pew, I mean, they'll also need some kind of a miracle. So we got to determine if God is going to give this miracle and it's only going to come from God, then we've got to determine who needs the miracle the most. You reckon in the Bible days, the Bible said Jesus was coming down the road. Great crowds were thronging Him. Great crowds were gathering around Him. But a little woman had heard about Jesus. The Bible said that this little woman had been had a blood issue for 12 long years. Now you would say she definitely needed a miracle. And she did. And she said, if I can but touch the hem of His garment, I can be made whole. She goes down, she lifts the crowd over, and the crowd is pressing and thronging. And I literally believe that she literally got down and crawled to the foot of Jesus Christ. And I believe that when she reached out and touched His garment, the Bible said she was made whole from that very moment. I believe that, but did she need the miracle more than the man right on down the road? You see, there's another man on down the road, just a little bit below her, who is also needing a miracle. And that was the blind man who sat by the wayside begging. He needed a miracle, but did he need it more than she did? The blind man need a miracle more than the woman who had the issue of blood? Well, let's take you to another scene. Let's go down to the pool of Bethesda. Here's a pool. The Bible said there were many who were lame and halt and withered. I don't understand when the Bible tells something, it always explains how long and how many. It'll always tell you that. And there were many at the pool of Bethesda. There were many people needing a miracle and needing the touch of God. Through their own admission, they said, we're waiting for the trouble of the water. And once a year, somebody comes down, an angel comes down and troubles the water, and whoever steps in first is healed. But there were many people laying at the pool of Bethesda that needed a miracle. So we've got to decide, who needs the miracle the most? Is it you that needs a miracle more than the person sitting beside of you? You see, because we've got to decide who needs this miracle. Oh, I got one miracle, and God said, give that miracle away, and if I'm going to give it to one person, I've got to make a decision of who needs it the worst. Is it you? Who needs the miracle the most? Well, I'm just dumb enough to believe the Bible said that my God will supply all of our need according to His riches and glory. So we put it back in the hands of God. God's got to decide who needs the miracle the most. And that's what He's going to do. He's going to decide, is it the woman with a blood issue? Is it the blind man sitting beside the wayside begging? Or who is it that is down at the pool of Bethesda that needs a touch more than the other? And this afternoon, that's a very important question. Do I need a miracle worse than they needed in New Orleans? Do I need a miracle worse than you do? Do you need a miracle worse than I do? You see, that's in the hands of God. You see, God works with a determining counsel. That's what Peter said on the day of Pentecost. He said that there's a determining counsel who's already determined this thing. So it's God that's going to determine who needs a miracle. Natural eye, and we may see this one needs a miracle, that one needs a miracle, but don't ever forget it's God that's looking for the person that really needs a miracle. But then again, He wants to give it to the one that needs it the most. So look across at your neighbor. Maybe they need it worse than you do. Well, then again, maybe we're going to have to decide if we deserve a miracle. I mean, how come that word deserve always fits within the framework of my life? You know, we're hung up on that thing. You know, I deserve this, I deserve that. I remember that Stephen Manley said, the only rights that we had was Jesus Christ bare them at Calvary. They were nailed to the cross. Our rights were put at Calvary. But how many of us are going to receive that miracle this afternoon simply because we deserve it? Do you deserve a miracle from God? Do you deserve for God to heal or touch? Do you deserve for God to do anything for you at all? Is it because God's going to give you the miracle because you deserve it? I remember a story of a young man who was in court due to the fact that a drunk driver, they had left church one day and on their way home, and a drunk driver ran into the automobile. He was just by chance not riding with his wife and his family that day. He was riding separate back home. When he got home, the policeman pulled up in front of the house and told him the sad news. A drunk driver has just hit your automobile, and your daughter and your wife and your mother is dead. All three of them were dead and struck dead in one moment by a drunk driver. He began to cry, I don't deserve this. He was angry, even angry at God, because he continues to say, I don't deserve what is happening to me. He goes to court. He said, I'll see that that drunk driver is put away. He'll never drive another car as long as I live.
I hope we walk the last mile to get through. And in hand, we can see the promised land. We've been through a lot of bad times, but our love is forever. And I hope we walk the last mile. Made our house a home for our little ones, and we've known happiness, and we've known some sad times too.
We've walked in the sunshine, we've fought the stormy weather, and I hope we'll walk the last mile together.
I hope we walk the last mile together. Hand in hand, we can see the promised land. We've been through a lot. But our love is forever, and I hope we walk the last mile together. I remember when you first said I love you. I didn't know that a love could be so strong.
And today I find you're still mine. So must come and go wherever. And I hope we walk the last mile together.
We walk the last mile together.
Hand in hand, we can see the promised land.
Well, I was sitting here thinking, I was holding Martha's hand when she passed, and we did. We walked the last mile together, and that was a blessing. That was the last song that we did together, and I'm going to continue to play that song over and over, and if you ever get tired of hearing it, then you just let me know. But I love that. I love Martha, and I loved her music. And she was a great help to me here on the radio broadcast. And I appreciate the people who sent the $59 in for her memory. We used it on the broadcast. But every month it takes money to keep this broadcast going. And we've got to have your help and your support if we're going to keep going. And I appreciate all of you. Let's pray together. Father, I'm praying for my unseen audience right now. I'm praying for the sick. I'm praying for that one that's lost. And Father, those that have made commitments and made vows to you, but they're not keeping those vows. They're not really been true to you. They're not really doing what they said they would do. They want to walk with you, but they want to walk in the world. But neighbor, you can't walk in the world and walk with God. You'll either love one and hate the other. You hate one and love the other. You can't love God and love the world, because the love of the world is in you, then the love of God is not in you. Now, that's just about as plain as the Bible puts it. But anyhow, we can love God together. Thank you, Jesus, for everything you've done for us on this radio ministry. You have really, I have preached a true gospel. I have sang, and Martha with her help and support, and people who have paid and prayed, and God, there's just so much to be thankful for. Thank you for the many blessings that you have bestowed upon me and upon my family. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I'm going to get that song, Thank You, Lord, for the Blessings on Me. Or I might just sing it without any music. I'm feeling good here in my spirit today, because God loves me. And if He be for me, there's no power that will ever stand against me. Now listen, my address has changed. Instead of HC 80, it's now 2642 Madams Creek Road. And that's the only part that's changed about it. It's Reverend Tommy Mounts, 2642 Madams Creek Road. And it's Hinton. The zip code's the same and everything. So let me give it to you one more time. It's 2642 Madams Creek Road in Hinton, West Virginia, 25951. And that's my new address. And I hope that you're planning on sending us something for the broadcast, because we have been quite a ways behind, because we're not receiving the help and the support that we need here on this radio ministry. But we're going to keep on keeping on until the Lord says, well, that's enough. So we're going to keep on keeping on praying for you, and you pray for me, okay? Well, goodbye, be good, and may God bless you and yours. That truly is my humble prayer.
Thank you.
Something to Believe In with Reverend Tommy Mounts returns next week at this same time. It's Tommy's sincere desire that today's program has brought encouragement and blessing. Please take time just now to write and include a generous offering, as your giving makes it possible for Something to Believe In to continue on this and other stations. Today's broadcast and or music tapes by Tommy and Martha are available by request. Simply include your request along with your offering when writing to Reverend...